This is an I Am Listening original podcast.
Don't ever lose the excitement. Buying a house, we know, comes with a huge amount of stress in terms of those financial commitments. Ordinarily, that first-time purchase coincides with a partner, so it's a brand new beginning.
Yeah.
And having been part of people's decisions over the past 20-plus years, I can promise you it's magical.
Welcome to the Property Podcast with Wards and me, Gary Wilson, the monthly podcast where I'll share with you all the latest Kent property news, as well as speaking with industry professionals to offer advice and tips that will hopefully help make your house moving journey a little less stressful. This podcast is brought to you by Wards.
As Kent's local independent estate agent, Wards utilise years of experience and expertise to promote your property in the best possible light to the largest possible audience. For more information, receive an online valuation in less than 30 seconds or book an in-person appraisal of your property with us today. Head over to wardsofkent.co.uk to find out more about our unique approach.
So in the first episode, we're looking at preparing to buy your first home. This is a massive thing. We're going to be covering a lot in this first podcast with our guest, who is Tom Ross Basson. Tom, very nice to have you here. Who are you? What do you do? Why are you here as our expert?
Thanks for having me. I'm the Regional Managing Director for Wards, and I've been doing this for over 20 years. So I'm delighted to be able to hopefully share some knowledge and some help to those out there listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got a lot to get through. We've got budgeting, just how you go about selecting a property in the first place, potential issues, just anything you need to look at for that first step of getting on the property ladder, really, because it is going to be the biggest decision of most of our lifetime. So let's start with affordability. It's the obvious place to start, really. How much can you afford to pay? What deposit do you need? What financially do you go, right, we're starting the process, finances, let's go?
Gary, that question's been out there for as long as I can remember, and it will continue to be there. We have come through a market that has been incredibly kind to everyone. Affordability has never been so accessible for first-time buyers or second-time or third-time. Now is a real key moment in the marketplace where affordability is paramount, simply because lending is restricted because of the financial climate.
Yeah.
So firstly, the first bit of advice I would give to potential buyers is you need to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about, Gary. It's not a case of going online and searching for where can I borrow some money. You've got to really talk to people that understand this current marketplace we're in. There are times that have gone by where there's been, you know, Northern Rock days where they were giving you deposits in order to climb the ladder. Those days are gone, long gone. But a 5%, 10% deposit will get you in the game, that's for sure. And then depending on the property you're purchasing.
Yeah, it has all suddenly pivoted in the last 6 months, hasn't it? It's all changed from kind of what we thought was going to be, well, the way it was. This is going to be the way it is, but of course nothing ever stays the same. And just to let everyone know, in episode 3 of our podcast, we are going to be focusing purely on mortgages and all that financial stuff. We're going to have a whole podcast on that. But moving on, after the affordability stuff, Tom, what's the next big thing, really? It's where you're going to be, I guess. Your location to coin the phrase.
Well, don't ever lose the excitement. Buying a house, we know, comes with a huge amount of stress in terms of those financial commitments. Ordinarily, that first-time purchase coincides with a partner, so it's a brand new beginning.
Yeah.
And having been part of people's decisions over the past 20-plus years, I can promise you it's magical. So to see those first-time buyers walk into a branch or speak to you over the phone or over the internet is amazing. And they are full of optimism. And it's our duty of care to manage expectation, also point out the risks of taking that step into buying a property. But what they must do, and I encourage anyone who's looking to buy their first home, is start building relationships with estate agents, which, trust me, can be a risky, dodgy topic at times. But there are certainly estate agents out there who are responsible, are trustworthy, transparent, and they will help you in regards to taking those steps forward, that's for sure. And what, Gary, this market has done, because I'll tell you now that I will never see a market like we've just come through in my lifetime. It was unprecedented. off the back of COVID, money was very affordable, etc. You will now start seeing the quality individuals come through. So you will start seeing estate agents who maybe jumped on the bandwagon now falling away simply because the margins are so tight. And I hope that gives first-time buyers, people coming to the market, that bit of reassurance and confidence that who they're speaking to, they must know what they're talking about simply because they're still around.
Yeah,
that's very key.
Yeah, so a lot of people have come and gone already in that short space of time.
Genuinely, Gary, it's a real shame because you see people coming into our industry who are full of optimism, as I said, and they benefit from those marketplaces, but they don't have the roots and the foundations in order to go through the tough periods. And I've been through enough pigs and troughs in my time to know that the marketplace we're entering now actually excites me because it really does filter out the kind of lack of experience, the lack of understanding. So for me, sat down with a new buyer, I'm so passionate about sharing with them my experiences and the pitfalls that you do build up the relationships. They do come back to you and say, Tom, thank you for changing my life. As a young estate agent, you know, 20 years of age, I didn't believe in changing someone's life. What are you talking about? No. It's just a job. I genuinely see people now's life change because of the support we give as good estate agents.
Yeah. And when it comes to the sort of technicalities of property, obviously there's lots of stuff that you don't really think about before you do it. It's like most things. Until you do it, you don't think about it. So things like various restrictions on property and certain areas. I'm thinking of somewhere like a conservation area or somewhere like that. The grade, when you was, it's grade two. They're always grade two for some reason. It's always two. Broadband is right up there on the top of the list now. Ground rent. What does peppercorn rent mean? All these phrases and things that you suddenly come across. How do you kind of navigate that? What should people be asking of you as an estate agent?
I think it's a really good point, Gary. And legislation now lends itself to protecting the consumer. So first and foremost, since I started, a lot of those points you just referred to were hidden and they wouldn't be exposed until you were in the legal transaction via your solicitor. The estate agent now has a duty of care to expose those issues prior to the individual viewing the property. So my advice to buyers in terms of what to ask and what to look for would be certainly when coming across a potential property that they like or a potential property that they want more information on is again to build that relationship with the estate agent, ask for the information surrounding any previous sales that have been agreed on that property. Because by law, Gary, if you buy a property and decide to pull out, then by law, we have to share that information with potential new buyers so that you're aware of the situation you're coming into. So there's no surprise.
Yeah. And so, the reason why as well.
That is absolutely paramount. And that's protecting the purchaser. And that's where your rogue estate agents will hide that information because they don't care about Gary and his new property.
No, they just want the sale.
Yeah, absolutely. So a trusted estate agent is paramount. And by law, they have to declare and share with you any information. It could be damp. It could be Japanese knotweed.
Oh,
it
yeah.
could be a down valuation. So anything, any reason that a property has fallen out of bed, which for those that aren't aware of the language is an abort, has to be shared and declared full and final prior to anyone commencing into a new transaction.
Right, so that's going to calm people's nerves on those kind of things. Just to let everyone know as well, in episode 4, we're actually going to really dive into conveyancing. It's going to be all about that stuff. I mean, I didn't know what a conveyancer was. I didn't even know it existed.
Such sexy language, Gary.
As a thing.
We're turning them on as we speak.
Well, you and your falling out of bed is probably as good as it's going to get. So this is Gary on the Property Podcast with Wards, and Tom is with me, and we're talking pretty much everything on getting on to the property ladder, buying that home. What would be additional costs that you might not know about at the start of a process? What are these things we've got to look out for? Because they always talk about contingency funds and things like that. What have we got to keep in mind? Because you've got the sale price and that kind of lodges in your head. Lots of other stuff there as well. So what additional costs are we thinking out for first-time buyers?
Yeah, again, I think it's incredibly important that those first-time buyers are fully aware of the cost implications. There are some boring stuff, Gary, that we don't share from the first point, which I think is important. Removal costs, for example, those that don't have extended family and friends with a mate with a van, you need to ensure you've got some funds available to do that. Could be coming from a rental property, could be pulling stuff from parents and friends. Secondly is survey costs. So when you're arranging a mortgage, there will be costs incurred through that, which could be a survey cost. Also, at times, there is a fee associated with a mortgage arrangement. So a mortgage advisor who is worth their salt, who is able to navigate and support you through that journey, they most of the time will charge a fee for their advice. In addition to that, you will have stamp duty costs, which is based on the purchase price, which again is very much dependent on the property value and the completion price.
Yeah. And there's obviously, it's a really important thing now, the whole energy efficiency thing, which wasn't really a thing, sadly. Very much is now. People will see these graphs on everything from fridge freezers to property. You know, you're in A and you've got a big long green bar and then it goes down B, C, D and it gets worse and worse and worse. So what should they look for on that front? What sort of a big sort of warning sign maybe that they would make them think twice or should make them think twice or at least get things checked out?
My honest opinion is that the energy performance certificate, it gives you a guide in regards to the energy efficiency of the home. Now, of course, if you're buying a period property in the Weald, that's certainly going to have a worse looking energy performance certificate than a brand new property off the shelf from a developer. But of course, don't let that put you off, because all it's showing you is the potential energy rating it could achieve based on changes. Now, Gary, that could be based on simply changing your light bulbs.
Yeah, we had that actually. I was going to say that. That's one not to worry about, because you can literally, they had all technical terms, but it was take out the old incandescent light bulbs, which you can't really buy anymore anyway, but at the time you still could. And it was like, put in an LED. And it was like, really? And that's all you got to do? And it was like, yeah, that's going to tick a lot of boxes. So it's like, whew.
Yeah, exactly.
Finding that stuff out can really make you feel better.
Yeah. So just from my own observations for new buyers is don't be put off by the energy performance certificate rating. Allow that to give you an opportunity to explore the possibilities of what could be achieved. Of course, if it's flagging up information that is beyond the realms of normality, then of course that would be a warning signal. But I can honestly say in my time, I don't recall a time where an energy performance rating prevented a buyer from purchasing a property. It's a warning, it's an observation.
Something to consider, certainly.
Yeah.
So let's go through a timeline, because when you start in the process, it's very hard to see an end point. Sometimes it can all get really daunting. So just can you take us through a timeline for people buying a first house? So they go and see a place, love it. The finances seem at least, you know, before you go through with a fine tooth comb, in place for it. Offers accepted. How does the timeline progress from there?
First of all, I'm going to keep reminding you, Gary, be blooming excited about this process. It really is amazing. And so, of course, capture that energy. And my first advice would be to surf as many platforms as possible to see what's available. That is the first step in terms of looking for a property, which can be daunting. Which property site do I go on? What's available? What's been sold? What's real? What's not? So again, I bring you back to that comment, creating that relationship with an estate agent where you feel safe in that space is absolutely paramount. So that would be my first word of advice. That's week one, so to speak. Then once you have understood what you can afford, taken good quality advice from a mortgage advisor, you've built a relationship with an estate agent, get out and start viewing properties. Get in through front doors. Take the advice of the estate agent. Don't limit your expectation. What I mean by that is when I was looking for a property, I had a very vivid picture of what I wanted. Well, what I actually bought, Gary, was very, very different. I reflect on that period now, and I really wish I'd been more open to suggestion, because it would have opened up my opportunity. I think in reality, most buyers will find the property that they are willing to consider within 10 days to 2 weeks. Once we've got through the front door, I would then encourage buyers to make offers. Offers cost you nothing, but you really test the mettle of a seller. How motivated is this seller? Are they willing to enter into this negotiation? If they are, you're keeping your options open. Once you've got an understanding of the motivation of the seller and you are keen to progress, then you can negotiate hard with the support and help of an estate agent, your mortgage advisor, and a conveyancer, which you mentioned in potential episode 4. Once then you've got an offer accepted, which is exciting, nerve-wracking, stressful, then you are in the realms of the conveyancing process, which at the moment, Gary, is taking around 16 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That is almost drop the mic moment, because in previous markets, that could have been as short as maybe 8 to 10.
What in the market has affected the conveyancing aspect? Because to me, it seems like that might be almost separate, really,
We're the consequence of a phenomenal market. So there is a huge backlog within the conveyancing process that are still trying to filter through. Also, believe it or not, Gary, there is a shortage of conveyancers out there currently.
I can't well believe there's a shortage of everything.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised.
Is. And so it's key that you are talking to those that have the history, the longevity, the real quality out there. We use Martin Tolhurst, who are Kent-based, and for me, they're currently above the industry average in terms of that conveyancing process, simply because, Gary, they know the Kent marketplace, so they're able to foresee and anticipate problems with covenants, grade 2 listing, radon gases. I won't bore the listeners.
We had radon gas, or at least we had to look for it.
Yeah, exactly.
And everyone was scratching their heads and saying, well, that's a couple hundred quid on a survey, you've got to do it.
Yeah.
Even though it never
Correct.
Was a thing.
And Gary, just a pitfall for buyers. They first-time buyers do get sucked into a conveyancer in Newcastle, for example, who are offering £100 cheaper.
Mm.
Well, that £100 is important to a first-time buyer,
yeah.
but actually that £100 can turn into a huge cost because they don't know about the radon gases, about historical mines, etc. So just don't get sucked into the cheapest isn't always best. That would be my observation.
Where next? So we've got the surveys back. Everything is beautiful. Everything's being ticked. And then I guess it's organisation then. And that last little bit, I've known a lot of people, myself included, that last bit of moving, just not ready for that. Now, I know that's not really your remit, but you will have come across it and you will know better than almost anyone. Just in that little bit where the practicality of getting into that house, what advice could you give on that front as well?
Well, first of all, Gary, I don't know what world you live in. This beautiful process, I wish it was. I know you're...
I'm talking retrospectively because...
Gary, I know you are.
What I want to make people think is if they are on this stage, that all those forms, all the things you have to tick off, all the things, the words you've never heard before, the people you've never heard doing jobs you didn't know existed, all that stuff. Luckily, you forget nearly all of that. And what you do remember is the good stuff, that feeling of getting the offer accepted, thinking you've got a good deal, finding that there was, I don't know, the garden went on a bit longer because there were bushes there. All those, they're the things you take with you. So it is,
okay,
were saying very positive at the start. And so I'm thinking afterwards, you see it nice.
I'm being playful.
Yeah, of course.
The old adage of it's not what people say, it's how it makes you feel, is, Gary, you're bang on. And you're right, when you walk over that threshold with your partner, whether you're buying on your own or with friends, it really is amazing. And I don't want to dilute that. It is.
Yeah.
You will come through that process, that's for sure. And it's those that are willing to go through those hurdles that ultimately gain an investment and in future will repay itself over the course of time. But I would encourage all buyers to be as prepared as possible. Take my own situation. My wife is ultra organised. She would have contacted the local electricity, water, council tax. Certainly in terms of getting into the property, what services are available? Is there Sky TV? Is broadband available? Is it fibre optic? So all the boring stuff is paramount in ensuring that you have a very smooth transition from a rental property into a home that you own. It's a total different kettle of fish. This is on you. This is your home. Your name is above the door. No longer can you talk to the agent who's the managing agent or the landlord. This is on you. And it takes a whole new feeling of ownership. King of the castle, those phrases. But Gary, being prepared, understanding the services, talking to removal firms, because you will get pressure from sellers that want a certain day to move in. And I encourage all buyers, be as flexible as possible within reason. but certainly don't be the reason why someone doesn't decide to move. When I was looking to purchase my first home, I would have moved on any day given to get into that property. And I think that would be a good bit of advice.
Yeah, flexibility.
Yeah.
And also, I would say, be like Tom's wife. I'm not a list person, but lists, honestly, if you have a list and if you stick it on the wall,
he's right,
when you move in a place, you need a list right there with everything that needs to be checked off, because you will forget there's so much stuff going on. Lists are your friends when you're moving house. That would be my thing. But I'm not an expert.
Ask our expert.
We've asked people what question popped out the most. One of them was, how do you know when's the best time to sell your house? So at the other end of the spectrum now, how do you know when it's a good time, a right time, the best time?
I mean, that, Gary, is the million-dollar question. But if you take a pragmatic view on seasonal, if someone was coming to me and saying, Tom, when is the most opportune moment to sell my home? When am I most likely to get the most people through my front door? And if you get a larger audience, Gary, as you know, the larger audience gives you more options, so more offers, etc. So we would encourage our sellers to be considering coming into that Easter spring market. Why? Because people are already thinking about kids into schools. They're thinking about, off the back of Christmas, let's have a change. Let's look at something new. So that would be a real moment in time which we would encourage sellers to think, right, let's get the house on the market mid to late Feb, coming into March, lighter evenings, the weather starts to change, the gardens start to look a little bit more pretty. And that's when we believe the photography, the video walk rounds look their absolute best, is when we're at that time of year. And then, of course, you come into the summer months where it drops off. People are going on holiday. The school's out for summer. So that would be the time that we would encourage.
Well, thanks very much, Tom. Regional Managing Director for Wards. And of course, it's a very good idea to consult with a financial advisor, solicitor or estate agent to help you navigate the home buying process and to answer any additional questions you may have. Make sure you check out next month's podcast, which will be all about preparing to sell your home. Thanks for listening to the Property Podcast with Wards. If you'd like more information on the subjects that we've covered in today's episode, just head over to the Wards website at wardsofkent.co.uk, or you can follow us on our social media channels. You can check out our latest episodes at www.im-listening.co.uk or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
This has been an I Am Listening original podcast. For more information, head over to our website, im-listening.co.uk.